D-Mace, Ving, and Indonic 102.5, the game, broadcasting, I should say, from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Thank you to Max Herz. Yes. I'm trying to do a show here, Max. How would you like it if I heckled you during pregame, which starts at 6:30? You can listen to Predators preseason pregame with Max Herz starting at 6:30 right here on 102.5 The Game. Predators and Lightning in preseason action tonight at 7. Among the veteran players who will be dressing for the Predators tonight, Philip Forsberg, Justin Barron, Spencer Stasny, Michael McCarron, Nick Perbix, Roman Josi, Brady Shea, UC Saros, Brady Martin will be in the lineup tonight.
All of them.
Steven Stamkos, so...
All of them.
A star-studded preseason lineup.
Everybody.
Well, the key prospects, to me, are the guys to watch tonight. And so that would be Brady Martin,
yes,
as you mentioned, Matt Wood, Reed Schaefer, Joachim Kemmel. Those are the guys that I think have the opportunity in the absence of Luke Evangelista. Take away Brady Martin. He's a center. But the other three guys, I think, all have a chance. Wood, Kemmel, Schaefer. To grab a spot in the absence of Evangelista, who is continuing his holdout. He left. He's gone back to Canada. I really don't get that. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow on Preds Insiders.
Yep, live at 6 o'clock.
But hopefully he'll sign later today, and he'll be on his way back down here. But in the meantime, Schaefer, Wood, Kemmel, all first-round picks, all very young, trying to make a mark. Wood had a particularly good game on Sunday. Okay, it's the Panthers, or what they were calling the Panthers, right? Those were not the real Panthers. Those were the AHL Panthers. And tonight's lineup for the Lightning, kind of similar. You're not going to see the main guys. Kucherov is not in tonight.
Why am I not surprised? Nevertheless, Predators and Lightning preseason action, puck drop at 7, pregame at 6:30, right here on 102.5 The Game. Hopefully nobody heckles Max Herz while he's trying to do his job. Jeez. Anyway, did anything happen today with the Tennessee Titans?
Quite a bit.
Too much.
Brian Callahan. So. No, right? Brian Callahan has ceded. Ding. Relinquished. Ding. I don't know if relinquished is that big of a word. He has given up his play calling responsibilities. Quarterbacks coach Bo Hardegree will be calling the plays moving forward. The Tennessee Titans are back in action this weekend at Houston, which is its own thing. You know how much Amy Adams-Strunk cares about winning in Houston. Also, and quite frankly, y'all are more fired up about this than the Brian Callahan stuff. The trading of Jarvis Brownlee. It broke shortly before we went on the air that the New York Jets, it's since been made official, that the New York Jets acquired Brownlee from the Titans. The Jets acquired Brownlee and a 2026 seventh-round pick in exchange for a 2026 sixth-round pick. So a late-round pick swap for Jarvis Brownlee. And as I said, just based on our reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, a lot more of you are bothered by what that means versus the decision for Brian Callahan to move off of the play-calling duties. Because, let's all be honest, Derek has said it plainly a couple of times today. Brian Callahan is a dead man walking. And it's going to take, this is probably hyperbolic, I'm going to say it anyway, it's going to take nothing short of a miracle for Brian Callahan to retain his job after how poorly the team has played under his watch. And now the one thing that he put his heart and soul into, play calling, is no longer his responsibility. But let's go to your reaction. We want your reaction all hour long, 615-737-1025. Let's start with Tony on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tony, thank you for waiting patiently. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, just right off the bat, I've been listening to sports talk for 30 years here in Tennessee, and y'all's new trio there, I like it. I think y'all are going to do real well.
Thank you, Tony.
No problem. Man, I think if I agree with Willie. This, you look at it, it's kind of depressing. You're at least 3 years from matching up with somebody like Detroit. But I think if maybe knowing that we're going in the stadium, if you take and look, we're going to get the first, second, maybe third pick this year in the draft. We don't need our quarterback, so we can probably trade down to get, finally get us a left tackle, get more draft picks. But anybody that was not going to be part of this team 2 or 3 years, I'd trade them, get the draft. But I'd focus, I'd do your offense first. I'd get my offense, whether the defense was worse than the league, that would get a top-notch offense, support Cam, and then get defense. I think it might sell tickets, and it, instead of just slowly getting both sides, you know, a little here, just knock the offense out and then go from there. So anyway, all right, guys, thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
The check is in the mail, Tony.
Listen, I think Tony's right about not only are we going to be great, you're right, absolutely right about that, us three together as a show, but I think he's right about his last point that he made, because look at the Cincinnati Bengals. What did they do? They built their offense first, right? They got their quarterback. They got their receivers. They thought they were upgrading their offensive line. It just hadn't worked out the way they thought it was. But they went and got a tight end. So they tried to get as many weapons for their young quarterback so they all can grow together, young weapons. And that's what's happening. T. Higgins re-signs the deal. Jamar Chase re-signs the deal. You have your quarterback that's back. All three of these guys have deals for the next at least 2 to 3 seasons. So what happens is we are building and we are developing together. That's what the Titans need to do here. It was thrown off. Well, not necessarily thrown off. Let's say this. They started this year with getting their quarterback. From here on out, at least for the next 2 to 3 years, they need to do everything they possibly can to get young talent on the offensive side of the ball. Supplement defense, maybe some older guys here and there. Try to work in some of the younger guys you already have. But your focus need to be on this offense and offense, period. Everything else, take a back seat to your offense. Why? Because you have a young quarterback. Same thing Baltimore did with their young quarterback. The good part about them, they already had a defense. Their whole organization is built on their defense. They systematically, and each year, they added more and more young talent to Lamar Jackson. Where are they now? They're one of the best offenses in the National Football League. Cincinnati Bengals did it. Where are they now? They're one of the best offenses in the National Football League, but their quarterback's hurt.
Can't keep the quarterback upright.
You see Jared Goff. They added young talent to Jared Goff. That's what you do with a young quarterback. I don't care if you're a defensive-minded head coach or whatnot. You have to quickly build a young nucleus with your young quarterback. They started a little bit with Iowa Manor. He looks like he's going to be a guy. But they need somebody else opposite him. They need somebody in the first round that's going to be a flat-out baller
right
at the wide receiver
position. They need their Malik neighbors, right?
Exactly.
Last week
Absolutely.
We were playing the would-you-rather game with the other winless teams in the NFL. And we got to the Giants, and we agreed that the Giants are in a better situation, not just now, but it appears to be in the immediate future than the Titans. And one of the major reasons is, say what you will about Russell Wilson, and it looks like Jackson Dart is going to go in now for Russell Wilson, if I saw those reports correctly.
I think they said it, yeah.
You've got Malik Neighbors. And to borrow Derek's term, he's a dog. You know that. You know Malik Neighbors. The Titans need their version of Malik Neighbors, that young 20-something receiver who can grow with Cam Ward. Wes in Hermitage, this is not a text, Wes. This is a tome. Are you familiar with the word tome?
I'm not.
A
I'm
book,
not either.
Especially a large, heavy, scholarly one.
Ding!
This is a tome, Wes, but I'll read it anyway. The Titans are giving Callahan chance after chance. If my current boss gave this many chances to another employee and they kept on finding ways to screw up, I'd want out and think something was going on behind the scenes. I wouldn't want to work for a boss that continued to allow dysfunction, as it makes us all look bad. There's no accountability here, not even with the play call change. Callahan said he made the decision himself. Bro, get real. Minutes later, you say, there is nothing wrong with my play calling.
Hey, okay.
We've all worked with that one employee, and when they finally get canned, it's like a breath of fresh air in the building.
But it's a second year.
No, we're stopping. Who is that? Wes.
Wes and Hermitage.
We love you, Wes. Wes and Hermitage. We love you.
There are so many Wes's, but
yes.
This is the Wes and Hermitage.
Wes and Hermitage. And anybody else, can y'all condense, like, the Texas? Adam loves reading, and we love when Adam reads.
Yes.
Them, but condense them a little bit, just a little bit.
No more tomes.
Okay. Yeah, no more tomes.
T-O-M-E. T-O-M-E.
I think it's a little harsh, because what he is not doing in there, he is not factoring in the exercise that we asked everybody to do yesterday, and that is take – and I did it today. Mm-hmm. take the rosters of the Ravens, Lions, and Titans. List your top 10 players on each roster. And then tell me how you're supposed to win with the Titans, who, by the way, are missing two of their top 10 players, Latham and Sweat.
So you did this exercise. We were going to do this exercise today, but things happened. So what you did is you looked at the rosters of the Titans, the Lions, and the Ravens, because the Lions and the Ravens played last night on Monday Night Football. By the way, Derrick Henry, major case of the yips right now.
Oh, yeah, man. Woo.
Can't hold on to the ball. Damn. That's new.
That was incredible.
Nevertheless, what you did to get a gauge of the rosters of those three teams is you looked at the NFL's list of the top 100 players. They do that every offseason, if I'm not mistaken. And then you looked back at Jeremy Fowler's ESPN rankings with executives and coaches and scouts and such to look at how many top 100 players each team had, how many players were in the top 10 at their respective position on Jeremy Fowler's lists. Your findings, sir.
And not just in the top 10.
Honorable
also,
mentions
at least
as well.
Honorable mention.
Listed somewhere in the store.
In the position group. Let's take the Ravens out just for a minute, just to keep it simple. The Titans have zero top 100 players in the league.
Even Jeffrey Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons is no longer in the top 100 players. The Lions have seven of the top 100 players.
Did you write them down?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear them.
Penei Sewell, Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Aiden Hutchinson, Kirby Joseph, the safety, who was a third-round pick, by the way, Sam Laporta, second-round pick.
So you've got
Amon-Ra St. Brown, fourth-round pick.
So you've got a wide receiver, a pass rusher, a running back, a tight end, an offensive lineman, a safety, and
they ain't even got Jameis Williams in there, do they?
No, he is honorable mention.
And he would be the Titans.
They have top 100 players.
He would be the Titans' number one receiver.
Every important position.
This is a great point. Mm-hmm. Jameson Williams is a really talented player who is a first-round pick. I ranked 13th in their roster. Mm-hmm. That's how deep the Lions roster is. As you said, Jameson Williams would probably be the top.
Oh, he would be the number one guy
on
here.
The Titans wide receiver depth chart.
Absolutely.
And so all of those guys in the top 100, the seven, six of them were drafted, plus Jared Goff, who they traded Matthew Stafford to get, and the other pick. So they made the most of that blockbuster move. So that's one thing to take out of this is, as the caller just mentioned, if they get a high first-round pick next year, they have got to trade down and get more picks. That's what the Lions did successfully.
How about the Ravens?
The Ravens have four of the top 100 picks, but their strength really is the depth of their roster. Uh-huh. They have seven others that were at least in the top 10 of their position groups. Mm-hmm. The Titans have one player in the top 10 of the position groups, Jeffrey Simmons, the fourth best defensive tackle, interior defensive lineman. Peter Skoronski was honorable mention as an interior offensive lineman. Zeitler, honorable mention, interior offensive lineman. He's older than dirt. He's not going to be there very long, but he's still in there. And Legarius Sneed, honorable mention as a corner. We know what his issues are. Those are the top four. Then you guess that Latham and Sweat, both injured. Hooker was nowhere to be found on those lists.
Kevin Zeitler, by the way, is younger than me. Does that make me older than dirt, too?
Not in football terms.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. I'm in the prime of my life.
Zeitler is, yes, and so is Zeitler in non-football terms.
Yes.
Cam Ward, I guess in your top 10, Tony Pollard, Ridley. It's just no comparison in the two rosters. So getting back to the callers, would you call it a tome?
A tome.
You've got to give a little slack. He is not coaching with a full deck. He's coaching with twos, threes, and fours in his hand, and the Lions and the Ravens have the straight flush, right? It is not apples to apples on that. So it is not easy to call plays for that team, especially when Latham is hurt and you don't even have him. You can't block up the plays. You heard what Orlovsky said. How do we block this play? You tell me. When you got Ojukwu and Ali Odu and Hance, what the heck is going on? Where did he come from? You can't block.
And to be clear,
How do you call plays?
And to be clear, us pointing this out is not us absolving Brian Callahan of blame for what's been going on.
I agree.
It is not. Let me be clear, because I think a lot of you have or will conflate what Willie just said with us defending Brian Callahan. The limitations of the Titans roster do not absolve Brian Callahan of blame. As we said yesterday, the issues that Brian Callahan has had this season are independent of the personnel. It's a coaching thing. It's not a talent thing.
It's a game operation thing.
Correct. So we can point out the limitations of the roster and how coaches, any head coach, given this opportunity, would have a really difficult time getting the most out of this roster. Is there a coach out there who could coach the Titans to a couple more wins? Sure. But are they going to be a contender in the AFC with this roster? Hell no. So I just want to make sure y'all understand that when we bring this up, we are not defending Brian Callahan. He is not absolved from blame. But he also has had, as Willie said, the worst possible hand he could possibly be dealt versus these other teams, which have drafted and developed and retained well and are bearing the fruits of that. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction on a newsy day in Titans land. We'll take your thoughts on Brian Callahan. We'll take your thoughts on the trading of Jarvis Brownlee. You take it where you want it. We are a show of the people on our first birthday. Today is the one-year anniversary of the premiere of D-Mays, Fingen, and Donick. We love y'all. We appreciate it. We want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingen, 1025 The Game.
You and Chad and Mike have been pretty open about the way that you lean on each other. How much of discussions with those guys led to making this decision?
Yeah, that's all part of the process. You know, we communicate daily. We talk about everything. There's nothing that goes on over the course of the day that I don't have a conversation with both of those guys at different points, sometimes together. But our communication, I think, is what leads to our strength and our ability to operate. And these jobs sometimes require, you know, some self-reflection and decisions that maybe sometimes personally you struggle with. And you got to look real hard at yourself and do what's best for the team. And I think that's ultimately what where we're at and what we're trying to do is we want to win. You know, we want to win games and we want to put our team in great position to do so. And that's what the fun in this profession is. It's not fun losing football games, and we want to put ourselves in a better spot. And I think that's was all part of the discussion.
So is that something that they suggested or just endorsed?
No, that's something. This is something that I felt like would help us the most. And you know, we talked through it. I think we talked through the pros, cons, all those things, and ultimately at the end of the day, felt like this was going to be the best thing for our football team moving forward, and allow us to allow me to do a better job as a head coach, and allow our coaches to coach and our players to play. And I think that's the general mindset from the whole thing. And again, this isn't like it happens. It's happened all the time. This is not an abnormal process for guys in these roles and for how these processes work, and trying to be better at the end of the day. And that's all I ask of our players, and it's. I'm no different, so I'm trying to do a better job at the job that I have.
Show of hands, everybody. And if you're driving, maybe you're on your way to the Predators game, Predators and Lightning in preseason action, puck drop at 7, pregame at 6:30 right here on 102.5 The Game. So keep your hands on the wheel, but raise your hand in spirit. Raise your hand if you believe anything that Brian Callahan just said.
Well, I believe that he was told this is what's happening, and I think he spun it in the best way he possibly could. I don't think he was given a choice. But to me, it was not about the play calling itself. It was the game operation embarrassment that they have suffered in 2 of the 3 weeks with not getting a call challenge that should absolutely have been challenged and won. And indecision of having the wrong football on the field because you couldn't make a decision, to me, that screams of he can't handle both play calling and being a head coach. And so you have two choices if you're going to make a change. If you're Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi, relieve him of all of it, or he has to relinquish the play calling duties, which he didn't want to do 24 hours ago, but he wasn't given a choice.
Right.
Because that is, and I understand it from his resume standpoint, he's going to have a tough sell. Selling himself as a head coach only because he was hired for his offensive wizardry. So he's trying to tell you he can still be involved in the offensive game planning, and this is going to be – it may well be better. He's still going to have a tough time salvaging this.
And I –
but this clearly came from above him.
Yes, and I don't know Brian Callahan. I listen to a lot of his news conferences, obviously, for professional purposes. He seems like a good guy. And I think what happens sometimes, and Willie, you've mentioned this multiple times, I think what happens sometimes is, in his attempt to portray things in a positive light, he trips over himself. He steps in it. There was the part about the Aya Manor catch that wasn't challenged in Denver. He comes out and says, you know, after the game, he basically admits, without admitting it specifically.
No, he stepped in it by saying,
yes,
you have to have a foot down as well,
right,
which was wrong. And this is where he didn't have the right people, from the people in the booth, mm-hmm, to even the media relations person that's got to tell him, Brian, you're going to get this question.
Right.
Be ready for the answer. What are you going to say? And if he says, oh, you have to have a foot down. Wait a minute, coach. Are you sure that's the case? These are the things that the people around him have failed him as well.
Right. My point is that it was the next day, in his opening statement, he says, my interpretation of the rule was wrong. And then as he is,
yes,
being asked questions about it, goes, I've got a pretty good handle on the rules. Paraphrasing,
yes,
of course. I just think this, you know, I thought this was...
He dug the hole deeper.
Yes. I thought that this was the best thing for the team. No, you didn't think this was the best thing for the team. Your bosses thought that this was the best thing,
right,
for the team.
And that I understand, because,
yes,
that's what he has to say. He can't... He has to spin that. The other stuff was in his control and in his media relations control. The media relations, he could have avoided a lot of these things,
yes,
and not made them a lot worse. If he'd have gone a little bit more Mike Vrabel and a short to the point kind of answer.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, nobody would have known he didn't know the rule if he just said, my guys in the booth told me it wasn't close enough to challenge. I didn't get a good look at it. That's all he had to say.
Right.
Then he would have avoided this whole thing.
I'm reminded of a scene from the off-season Hard Knocks featuring the New York Giants, which is the only off-season Hard Knocks because the Giants made fools of themselves in that off-season,
right,
Hard Knocks.
That's a great point. And here's another one. Yesterday, the whole, we were going back at Sunday. We were going back and forth. We were going back and forth. He said it multiple times. In other words, I couldn't make a decision. A media relations director who goes to him before that press conference after the game says, Coach, they're going to ask you about the field goal that got blocked and that whole thing at the end of the half. What are you going to say? And as soon as he says, we were going back and forth, it's, ah! Coach, you can't say that. You can't say that. You have to come up with something else. Because what he has become labeled
as the coach who doesn't understand the rules.
As the coach who doesn't understand the rules
yes,
and can't make a decision. That is media.
Derek, the scene I am referring to is, I think it must have been at the NFL draft combine. Mm-hmm. So this was before the Giants moved on from Saquon Barkley. So it was a really interesting scene. So Joe Shane, who is the GM of the Giants, was sitting down with his director of communications, media relations, whatever the official title. And that person was doing what Willie is basically suggesting. Mm-hmm. He was saying, Joe, you are going to be asked this question about Saquon Barkley. You are going to be asked this question about Saquon Barkley. And what was cool about the editing was they spliced the meeting with the comms director with Shane's news conference. And at one point, Shane was working on a response about a question he was going to get on Saquon Barkley. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but his communication director was like, don't say it like that, basically.
Yeah.
And then they showed him at the news conference answering it the way that the comms director said he should answer it. And I understand, look, as a reporter, I love coaches who are willing to be expansive. We're here at Bridgestone Arena. I know a lot of you have mixed feelings about John Hines as the Predators head coach. I loved working with John Hines because he was expansive. I learned a lot by listening to him. He was willing to answer questions. Conversely, Peter Laviolette was the opposite. And he and I butted heads, but I didn't learn a lot necessarily talking to Peter Laviolette because he kept everything so close. And I think sometimes with Brian Callahan, he wants to be that coach who shares as much as he can, but in the effort of doing so, finds himself in these traps that he sets for himself.
You know, is he cut out for it? I'm not sure. We'll find out very soon here. That's not even okay.
It's only part of it.
We've established that, you know, he's relieved himself.
That's one way to put it.
Of the offensive coordinator duties, whether he got that arm twisted a little bit, we won't know. I'm not going to say we won't ever know, but we don't know right now. He made the change. So to me, that's over with. We're going to continue to talk about it. We're going to continue to dissect it. But to me, that's like, okay, I'm going to put that to the side for a minute. The interesting part about this is who he chose. Did the organization, if indeed they told him he had to make changes or he had to relieve himself of the offensive duties, did they also tell him that he needs to be the offensive coordinator, meaning Bo Hartigree and not Holtz? So I want to know, why did he come up with Bo being – I can assume it's because Bo has been more recently an offensive coordinator. He was with the Raiders the last 8 games of the season, I think at 22-23.
I have those numbers for you, by the way.
Aiden O'Connell end up – they had one of the better, you know, passing ratings and yardage and all this other stuff through air the last – 8 or 9 games of the season.
So Hartigree was the interim play caller for the Las Vegas Raiders in 2023 after the Raiders fired Josh McDaniels. This according to Mike Herndon of PaulKaharski.com. The Raiders were averaging 15.8 points per game and 268 yards per game under McDaniel. They averaged 22.9 points per game and 308 yards per game with Hartigree calling plays.
So did the organization... And when I say organization, I mean Bergonzi and Brinker. Did they tell him, hey, listen, you need to give up duties and you need to give it to him? Or did they just say, you need to give up duties, we're going to allow you
to say. Yeah, you choose who you have.
You choose which one of these guys or whoever you want to call plays. I would love to know the answer to that as well. Because to me, it's interesting. You chose to, you know, Holtz seemed to be your right-hand man. He came with you from Cincinnati. You brought him with you from Cincinnati. But you chose to go with Bo Hartigree. I would have chosen the same thing, too, because of his experience calling plays. But is that the only reason why you chose to go with Bo Hartigree as opposed to Holtz?
So just for your information. Uh-huh. From our friend Teron Davenport, Brian Callahan, Bo Hartigree, and Nick Holtz will still be the ones in game plan meetings with Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. Holtz will handle base downs. Mike McCoy and wide receivers coach Tyke Tolbert will continue to be in charge of putting together the red zone game plan. Mm-hmm. Running backs coach Randy Jordan will continue to handle the screen game. So those are the responsibilities of the Titans offensive staff.
And that's not like it's not like that at other places. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that it's just like that.
But like, what does Nick Holtz do? I think we've gotten a lot of those texts.
Yeah.
Like, if he's the offensive coordinator, he didn't call plays before. The head coach has to give up the play calling responsibilities. And now he doesn't get them. What does he even do?
And that's why I said, well, why didn't he give it to Holtz? He was the offensive coordinator, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So typically you would think, well, we're just going to hand it down to the next guy in line. No, they jumped over him and said, you know what, we want Bo Hartigree, which tells me that probably wasn't his decision either to make Bo Hartigree
so do you think
the
that,
offensive coordinator.
That Brian Callahan went in there knowing that if this change was going to happen, he would have recommended Nick Holtz instead of Bo Hartigree, if it were up to him?
He's the offensive coordinator.
Right.
He's the Holtz next in line.
Holtz is the offensive. No, Holtz has the title as offensive
coordinator. Correct, he does.
So when you relieve yourself of duties, then who becomes the offensive coordinator?
I'm trying
the
not.
The offensive coordinator that that right. has the title.
But you're going from this is again something that was that was not questioned when they hired Brian Callahan at the beginning, going back 2 years ago. They hired a guy who had neither been a head coach nor had he ever called plays. And he brought in an offensive coordinator who had never called plays. And so the first two guys on the chain in the titles had never called plays in the NFL. So I think the logic here is, well, if we're going to take one guy, let's at least put a guy in there that has done it.
So which
before.
Means it was, I think it was their decision, meaning right. Brinker and Borgonzi.
Again,
he's going in as the offensive coordinator, not him, because he was the offensive coordinator by title. But no, right. We're going with this guy.
Again, going back to part of my theory as to how we got here, the people surrounding Brian Callahan, which is his responsibility when it comes to assistant coaches, they have not served him well at all.
No.
The people around him, when you look at the people in the booth that are supposed to help him challenge plays, the analytics people that are supposed to be one step ahead on decision-making, go for it, don't go for it, the play-calling duties, all of these things, not good.
615-737-1025. I am trying to not be sophomoric when Derek keeps saying relieved himself of duty. But I am not an adult, I guess. 615-737-1025. We will wrap up the show next. If you have any reaction to anything that happened today, we will get to it coming up next. If you want to get in on it, now is the time. 615-737-1025. A reminder that our show, which is 1 year old today, is presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live inside Bridgestone Arena. Predators fans are filing in for some preseason action. The Predators host the quote-unquote Tampa Bay Lightning, because you probably haven't heard of any of the players on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. In preseason action, puck drop at 7, pregame at 6:30 tonight. Not the usual 6, 6:30. Right here on 102.5 The Game. Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, UC Saro, Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, Brady Martin, among others, will all play for the Predators in tonight's home game. Plus, our very own Willie Donick will be taking over play-by-play duties in the second period. So if you want to hear Willie back on the radio, second period, turn your radio dials to 102.5 The Game.
I feel for y'all, Willie.
Why?
I'm just looking at some of these names, man. I'm like, how in the hell do y'all do it?
Okay, point went out to me.
This guy right there.
Okay, let's
or
see.
The Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
That guy.
Cheech Stachowiec?
Who? Cheech and Chong?
That's is how you know slow? It was hard when D-Maze is like, that guy.
Yes, well, I'm struggling with that one.
I don't think he's in the lineup tonight, thankfully.
Okay, thankfully.
Thankfully he's not in the lineup.
Zemgus Girgensons?
Yeah.
Anyone?
I'm familiar with Zemgus Girgensons.
Oliver Bjorkstrand.
Jake Gutzel?
Jake Gensel.
Gensel.
See?
Yeah, Gensel is not.
You don't even pronounce it. There's no sounding of the U in there at all.
No.
Right.
It's Gensel.
Yep.
G-I-N-Zil.
Yep.
That's how I would spell it.
Sometimes I write it down like it sounds. Okay. Down like it's spelled.
It rhymes with pencil. Put down your Gens and your Gensels.
Okay, there you go. I like that. Okay, I see it.
We've had a lot to discuss today.
Yeah,
a lot to discuss about the Tennessee Titans and Brian Callahan no longer being the play caller.
Can't wait for hockey to start.
No,
I'm just playing, people. I'm playing.
Jeff on our text line. Actually, before we go to Jeff, let's go to Ken from the borough, who's been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ken, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
At the beginning of last year when Callahan was hired, there was a press conference, and he said this line more than once. I'd like for you guys to check it out and go back in your archives and find it, because it was extremely troubling when he said it. Mm-hmm. And now with this going on where he's relieved of his duties of play calling, it's even more disturbing. What he said was this. He was asked by one of the reporters, what do you think about the quarterback position right now with the Titans? And he said, and I quote, it's a little loose quote, but he said, playing quarterback is 90% boring. They just have to learn that boring part to be okay. Now, I'm trying to think, when Joe Burrow was with this guy, was it boring for him in Cincinnati? Or is Josh Allen bored? Or Rodgers bored? Or on and on? It was one of the most ridiculous comments I've ever heard any head coach make. I'll leave it for you guys to talk about. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm only assuming here because I've heard that statement made by other, you know, individuals, not necessarily Brian Callahan or anybody else, but I've heard people who played the quarterback position or who've coached it. He's not necessarily meaning the
job.
The job is boring. He's saying be okay with the boring, meaning the check down.
Right.
The short passes, not the wild passes. That's exciting. The wild passes are exciting, 20, 30 yards down the field, 15 yards, you know, in route, he catching, he run another 20. Those are exciting. What Brian Callahan is talking about and how you want to develop a quarterback is don't get used to don't get tired of taking a profit. That's what he's basically saying.
So
don't get tired of taking a profit.
And it's the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, it's
stuff,
the boring
the grinding stuff.
Stuff yeah,
the
that
film
stuff
room,
it is boring.
I don't.
I am telling you, that stuff, we're in meetings. Like, we are in those meeting rooms with no sound, lights are out, and the film is going. We're in those meeting rooms for about 2 hours at times, probably longer than that sometimes. And it does get boring. But what he's saying is don't get boring with that, because all of that is for a reason. There's a means to an end with that. That's what he's trying to say about the quarterback.
So,
don't get bored with those little check downs and stuff like that or the meetings. We're going to get through this. It's going to be good.
I don't have a quote from Brian Callahan's introductory news conference, which the caller was referencing, but I found a quote from Callahan after the game against the LA Chargers last season talking about Will Levis. And I think it touches on the same thing that the caller was pointing out. He said, quote, "I saw growth in Will's play in this game," which is funny to hear in hindsight. "I really did. There was improvement. Part of playing quarterback, for the most part, can be pretty boring, and that's probably 80% of playing quarterback is doing the normal, mundane, ordinary things consistently well. And then there's a time and a place where your talent has to take over, and that's, so on and so forth."
Right. That's a perfectly legitimate quote.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I think that's what the caller was.
That's not what gets you fired.
Look, a caller, I understand – your concern about that, hearing it from Brian Callahan, and then obviously see what's going on now. But don't think too much about that, or don't look too much into what he said. I think he was just basically saying, hey, listen, don't get, bogged down with just the mundane stuff, with going out and throwing 10-yard passes here, 5-yard passes here, just leading the offense methodically down the field. Don't get bored with that, because that's truly what football is. Football is, 60-minute game?
Chess match.
Yeah, it's a 60-minute game, but only like 20 minutes of it is really like exciting.
Right. But it's taking what the defense gets
exactly.
you. It's the chess
Absolutely.
Match. It's understanding what's there and having the repetition over and over and over of making the right decision.
Exactly. But I get what the caller's saying.
Like, Cam Ward is not going to sink or swim based on the highlight throw that he made to Io Manor for the first touchdown of the year. That was spectacular, but you can't live on that play.
And that's what
it's more of the grind. How do you get the ball down the field every time? That's what he's talking about when he says boring.
And that's what I was saying the other day about the wild plays by Cam. It's good that he's having those wild plays, but I don't want to get used to that. I want him to develop in the pocket, do the boring stuff in the pocket first, and then I can get wild by the other stuff that you do every so often. But make no mistake, be boring inside the pocket, do what you need to do inside the pocket, complete passes. That other stuff, it'll come, and we love it, but that without the development in the pocket is nothing. You're going to be a quarterback for 2 years. That's it.
West from
development within a pocket.
West from Hermitage, who sent the tome earlier, said, "Note to self: if my text is longer than my average dad joke, don't send." Got it. No, West, you can write as long as you want. I appreciate you listening.
No, West, we love you.
Another West. West in Clarksville says the Titans have until the middle of October to get things turned around, because that's when my Hulu Live expires. I love my team, but it's hard to watch. LOL. I mean, I don't blame you. And the Tennessee Titans, they aren't home for for another month. They play three consecutive road games, and they come home to take on the Mike Vrabel-led New England Patriots. Let's see. So much reaction, and we appreciate that today on our first birthday. Yes. By now, we've learned to walk, I guess.
Yes, we're walking. We're biting people. You know, we're doing everything. We're tyrants around here.
Wow.
You know, when the baby start walking, it's over with, man. They
yes.
get into everything.
That is true. So Joel on our text line says, since Bill Callahan is obviously an older, experienced coach, why wasn't he on the headset helping us send out with some of the game management decisions?
Well, that was something I asked Paul Kuharsky, and he came up with a theory that you have a number of guys on that staff who have quite a bit of experience, and
yes.
there's no one with more than Bill Callahan, but you can't have five people talking to you at one time, or else it becomes noise, right? I do wonder about that concept of everybody wants to help the young head coach. And so if you got, say, Bones Fossil, who has been an interim coach, a Mike McCoy, who's got a lot of experience, who hasn't been there as long, a Bo Hardigree, a Bill Callahan, if they're all speaking to you, it's too much, right? So maybe is there a little bit of that? Too many cooks in the kitchen?
Yeah, but that's where he may not be cut out for head coaching, because
right.
being a head coach, you got to
– you can't be propped up.
It's got to be sometimes where you say, shut up, I got
right.
it.
Right.
Shut up. I've heard coaches say, shut up, I got it. Like,
right.
I know there has to be a time that he does that. The televoice is, shut up.
Yep.
Let me do this.
And maybe with the play calling off his plate, he can now focus that.
Exactly.
One texter says, having a news conference about this alone is silly. Most teams would just make the change and not announce it. Certainly not a special certainly not a specially called news conference. I like Callahan, but he talks too much.
Well, they had to have it that way because
he left the door open yesterday when he was asked about giving up play calling duties, and he said everything's on the table.
Yeah, but you had to come out with the story now. The minute they told you, or the minute you decided that you were not going to be offensive coordinator anymore, you had to come out with the story right then and there. You couldn't hold it.
You're also giving the bloodthirsty vampires their meat.
The bloodlust. By the way, Wes and Dixon just texted in and said, just checking in, because we've heard from Wes in Hermitage
okay.
and Wes in Clarksville. So Wes and Dixon is just saying hello. Hello, Wes.
We love the Wes.
We love the Wes's.
Yeah, keep it coming. Are all the West's West.
They live on the West.
Well, one is in Clarksville, one is in Dixon, one is in Hermitage, which is East.
That's East. Yeah.
Well, all the West's
almost
are West.
All of them, yeah.
Yes. All the West's. This is almost as good as that one time we started the fight between people in
In
Hopkinsville?
Yes.
In the text line? We love our listeners in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Oh, boy. I mean, we have a lot to sift through. So whatever we did not get to today, we will get to tomorrow. Of course, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton with Rub will join us at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Silly underdog picks tomorrow
as well.
Derek Mason in first place. But
let's
not discount the fact that yours truly has won three consecutive games thanks to Memphis.
Hey, if you ain't
first,
like Ricky Bobby said,
you're last. You know who's in dead last? Chris Sanders.
Good.
0-4. At least Chris Sanders has the final pick, so he can be late tomorrow, and it probably won't affect
anything.
Who has
the first pick?
You do.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
oh,
you
yes.
have the first pick tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Hal Gill, who's somewhere around here, has the second pick. I have the third pick, and Chris has the fourth pick.
Are there any good games on?
I have to check. I've been a little busy today.
There's a few.
I think we all have.
Yes.
In a sense.
But that'll do it for us today on the program. A reminder that Predators pregame starts at 6:30 tonight. Puck drop of Predators and Lightning in the preseason at 7 o'clock. Our very own Willie Donick and Chris Mason will be doing play-by-play and color for the second period. We will get back to all of this tomorrow, as I said, on our first birthday here on DVD. We thank you very much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. We appreciate all of your participation in talking to you, especially you, Wes and Wes and Wes. And we will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be loved, love of your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The show loves you. You hear that music. Don't forget about us. don't. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.